Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston, and tonight I'm still joined by my good friend Taylor. I don't think we're good friends anymore.
I don't understand.
I'm exhausted. Like, I'm tired of this.
Yeah, you're the one who like won't go home.
I thought this was a good
idea. Leave. I've been telling you to leave for the past 48 hours. Go home. Just leave. We've done way too many research. We've watched so much film.
Yeah.
I'm out of it, man. You had me watching Detroit film. Detroit. And now Arizona.
But you do better appreciate how Matt Patricia blitzes linebackers to create a pass rush.
I appreciate nothing.
You're at least more appreciative of that.
I'm not appreciative.
It was worth it.
It wasn't worth anything.
It was worth it.
You're out of your mind.
Well, this is for the love of the game.
Oh, God. At least we're done with the NFC, right?
No.
Oh, we're not?
The love of our 4 million listeners we have every month. Hey, we love, man, all of you.
Hey, we love every single one of you. Keep the fan mail coming.
Except for you, Susan.
Susan just won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
God, she keeps hitting on my Twitter account. Tweet, tweet.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how Twitter goes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I like the crickets.
Do you go on Cricket? Is that where your phone is?
Yeah, I got a Cricket's phone. Yeah. I miss sleeping with the windows open.
You know what? Cricket's probably better than Sprint at this point. God.
I don't know.
Sprint just makes me angry.
I miss sleeping with the windows open. But
what does
tonight,
that even mean?
Tonight, we're doing the NFC West, the last team in the NFC we have left to do. And we're going to start with the Arizona Cardinals. They're going out to the desert.
Oh, God.
It's a real Bruce Springsteen song.
There is no Bruce Springsteen. This is not a Bruce Springsteen song. This is a
I mean, Bruce Springsteen does have a song about the Arizona desert. His new album has a song called Tucson Train, which takes place in Arizona.
That's not how it goes.
Yeah. It's called Tucson Train.
I feel like you just made that up at the top of your head.
No, it's great. I've drove around Wyoming crying and listened to Bruce Springsteen. Take it from me firsthand. Yeah, that's what I do on vacation. I loved it.
So that's what you said when you just need time to yourself is to listen to Bruce Springsteen and just sit in a car, drive to Wyoming and just cry.
Yeah.
That's all you want to do?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's my me time. So the Arizona Cardinals, they made so many changes from last year to this year. Like, they added a bunch of players. They lost a bunch of players. So they lost Steve Wilkes. They lost Byron Leftwich. They lost Mike Glennon. They lost Antoine Bethea, Jermaine Gresham, Mikey Opati, Marcus Golden, Deion Buchanan, J.J. Nelson, Ode Abushi, Olsen Pierre. They added Vance Joseph as their defensive coordinator. Of course, they have Texas Tech, you know, Wonder Man as their new head coach. They added Robert Alford, who broke his leg again today. They had Brooks Reed, Charles Clay, Marcus Gilbert, play right tackle, Jordan Hicks, J.R. Sweezy, Brett Hundley, Max Garcia, Kevin White, Josh Shaw, Darius Filon, Terrell Suggs, Max Williams with two X's, not three X's, and Tremaine Brock. So, I mean, this is a lot of turnover in one offseason, and they drafted Kyler Murray, number one. And they drafted, like, 10 players this year. A lot of picks in this year's draft for them.
Yeah, and I don't believe in anything that this team is doing. So I just don't even understand why we're talking about this team.
Well, I mean, I did pick them to make the playoffs last year.
Oh, yeah, and that was a wonderful pick. But that was also because you were overshadowed because of your David Johnson love. Do you even think that the Kyle Murray and David Johnson thing is going to be the ultimate duo? Is that what you believe?
Okay, so let me preface this by saying I think preseason football means nothing.
I agree.
It's stupid. It sucks. They should only have two preseason games, one for the starters, one for the backups. That being said, I think Kyler Murray is going to die.
He's going to get hit so hard.
Like, he looks like an ant.
So I told you, and you kept saying no, that I was over-exaggerating when I said he's 5'6", that he's
my height. He looks
Matt,
different.
He looks like me on a football field.
He looks different on a college field than an NFL field, though.
Yeah, it's because the guys are smaller. These are men that are just ginormous. Man,
it's insane.
Man, when we had a stand-up side-by-side, one of them, it's the weirdest thing when you can honestly say, oh, yeah, if he shoves me, I may have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
If he shoves me with one arm, and I just always remember whenever he said, oh, you're a big boy to you, and you know what your response was? You're a big boy. You were so offended that day.
No, I was fine with it.
Who was that told you that?
That was the guy who played from Kansas State.
Yeah.
He still plays for Minnesota, I think.
I was about to say, he's still in the league. It was the funniest thing when we went and saw that.
I got it right here. You ready?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't have it.
Oh, my God. This is what you do. You're supposed to be the stats guy, and yet you've fallen behind.
It will come to me, like, in 10 minutes or so. I remember they asked me, like, what's your secrets like? Glass of red wine every night.
Who said this?
That's what that guy said. He played in the league till he was, like, 42 at cornerback. Oh, it's Terrence Newman. That's who it was.
No, it wasn't Terrence
Newman. It was Terrence Newman.
It was Terrence Newman.
I don't think it was Terrence Newman.
I don't think it was Terrence Newman.
You're wrong.
I think you're wrong on this one.
No, you're 100% wrong.
No, you're 110%
wrong. Here's what scares me for Kyler Murray. Last year, the Arizona Cardinals gave up 52 sacks, and they gave up 52 sacks in 2017. Their pressure rate last year was 35.4%, which was 29th. This is their offensive line this year. Are you ready? As of right now, DJ Humphreys, left tackle, Justin Pugh, left guard. At center, they're having a position battle between Mason Cole and A.Q. Shipley. At right guard, they have J.R. Sweezy, who's a terrible pass blocker. At right tackle, they have Marcus Gilbert, who was, you know, good in Pittsburgh. So what do you think? Is Kyler Murray going to be sacked 52 times this year?
No, because he'll be able to maneuver out. Oh, man, I don't want him to get hit one single time. But I feel like not 52 times, I'm going to say 51 times.
Okay.
So I think it's going to go a little bit under, and that's just because of his mobility. I really hope that they just teach him to go down. That's my only
hope.
That's
what he did in that preseason game. He took that safety.
It's just no matter what, you're going to need to go down. And that's just because, Matt, what happens if somebody pushes him?
I don't know.
He's going to go flying.
Yeah, I mean,
if Khalil Mack were to hit him one time in the chest, what would happen? He may explode.
Well, this is also kind of the problem with Kyler Murray. Last year in Oklahoma, I think all five of his offensive linemen are going to play in the pros.
There you go.
In high school, two of his offensive linemen are playing in the pros.
That's really lucky.
Yeah, and so he's always played behind a really great offensive line. He's always had plenty of time to throw. He's always had those opportunities, and now he's going. I think this offensive line is going to be like the 25th best at pass protection. Like, I do really like Marcus Gilbert. I think their center and their right guard is going to be a big trouble. Like, Sweezy's never been good at pass blocking. And one thing that you need that teams need to understand, they never understand, is you don't sign offensive linemen from Seattle because none of them can pass block. It's just Russell Wilson is just like incredible and can make up for it. And, like, the Bucs gave Sweezy, like, a $45 million contract for, like, 4 years. Like, you're so stupid. Don't do that. And he was cut after 1 year, of course. And Humphreys, this is probably his last year before he goes and he's released. And they're not going to pick up his fifth-year option. He's a former first-round pick. So, yeah, I'm worried. The only thing that I guess you can make up for it is that it's the preseason. They're not going to do anything they're typically going to do. I think David Johnson's even played on these preseason games.
Are you disappointed by that? Have you been looking forward to the return of David Johnson?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Because you're going to be drafting him number one, right?
He's going to catch 120 passes this year.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, no, he's not.
The Cardinals are going to throw like 60 passes a game. And Johnson's going to catch like 120 passes
this year. I don't
think
they're going to throw that many passes. I don't know what Kyler Murray is going to be able to do. I'm so lost.
I mean, it's Kingsbury's offense. They throw the ball 75 times a game or so.
I'm lost. I just don't think he's going
to
be able to.
Every play is a pass with the option to run the ball.
He didn't look good this last preseason.
Yeah, I know.
Is he the starter?
Who?
Kyler Murray.
Yeah, 100%.
Man, he didn't look good.
Brett Hundley looked pretty good, though.
Yeah, he did look good. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
He looks like Hundley, but just like 7 inches taller.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he should be on the field.
I agree.
Like I said, I didn't really realize how small he was until that first preseason game.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you're nervous whenever you're watching him.
I am kind of scared. So his pass catchers, though, I think Charles Clay is going to be really good in Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald's still here, of course. They added Christian Kirk. Well, Christian Kirk's still here. He's a really good like sideline receiver, go up and get it sort of guy. They dropped to Andy Isabella, who's the same sort of player. And they signed Kevin White to play
good.
Two games before
Kevin
breaking
White.
His leg again. So that's the offense. He's going to have like 55 passes in every game.
That's good. So I really hope that Larry Fitzgerald is going to catch about 30 of those a game. Because otherwise, what does he have? He has nothing. And Kevin White is the most overrated receiver to ever come out.
I don't think he's overrated because somebody said he's good.
I thought he was drafted first round.
Yeah, he's like a second overall pick. I'm saying now that he's in the league.
Well, wait, hold on.
Yeah, but he was just a bad draft pick. He's not overrated.
Okay, if you're the number two pick overall.
I think he was three.
Okay, either way, I thought he was later on in the first round. Yeah. I didn't realize he was top five.
Yeah.
If you're top five and you're that bad, Matt, what has he done?
He's a bust.
He's a complete bust.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's overrated, though.
Okay, well, I don't
It's lexicon.
Somebody rated him high in the draft.
So the Cardinals were really bad last year. I was very wrong. They won three games. They were 32nd DVOA, -40.7%. This was one of the worst offenses of all time. They play the fifth toughest schedule out there. And like really the big question for them is their offensive line going to be better? They had 13 offensive line starters last year.
There you
13.
Go.
I think that's not going to be. They won't have 13 this year.
That's solid.
I really think the biggest problem is just that center and right guard. I like this defense, but I don't like Vance Joseph coaching it.
Why? What's with Vance Joseph? What does he do?
He plays nickel. He doesn't blitz. He sits in zone coverage. He's never coached a really good defense in his entire career.
Sometimes all we have is a nickel, man.
He's never been a good coach.
Sometimes it's all we need.
He was a good defensive back coach, I guess, once upon a time, but
maybe he could bring some. You know what? I feel like this is, it's just like what you said, though. Everyone's just going to be watching the offense. Nobody's really going to be paying attention to the defense. So it's all about putting up points. It's all about if he's the next Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's all about
taking about. Because the greatest game last year was the Los Angeles Rams versus the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night. Woo! Worst game of all time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of bummed.
That's what the league's going to turn into.
I'm bummed because when I think about Arizona, I think about a lot of blitzes, a lot of like fun.
Not happening.
I mean, they were the team, they rushed the fifth most pass. They rushed at least five rushers. I said that wrong again. They rushed five rushers the most times in football last year. And like that's what I want to see from Arizona. I don't want to see them like rush four and sit back in coverage. It's boring.
Don't they have T Sizzle?
Yeah, they got Terrell Suggs.
There it is, man. T Sizzle's all you need.
That's not what he is. He's the space turtle.
Nah, man.
No, wait. He's the creator of the universe.
What does that mean?
Terrell Suggs is the space turtle.
How is he a space turtle?
Because he's like 41 years old. He's still playing. He was still really good last year, and he's the creator of the universe.
He's 41?
I mean, he's not 41.
Okay, I was about to say, if he was 41, then he has like a magical fountain that he's not telling anybody about.
He's at 37
okay,
this year.
That's still pretty up there.
Yeah, and at his age 37 season, he had 7 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 36 pressures.
That's pretty solid.
Chandler Jones last year, 13 sacks, 7 hits, 30 pressures. So like pretty much the only difference is that Jones had 6 more sacks.
Yeah, you know what? I think Terrell Suggs should just come to Dallas for a little bit. I think he would actually enjoy playing with us.
I think it's a little late.
Yeah, probably. I don't know why you picked Arizona, though.
I think he wanted to live in the desert.
Who wants to live in the desert?
A lot of people want to live in the desert.
Nobody wants to live in the desert.
It's not true.
You're the only one who wants to live in the desert.
It's the best, dude. It's the best.
It's not.
They're also... So, like, the other thing about their defense, too, is they've drafted a lot of guys early on. I know they recently cut... I can't even say his name, but Robert Mdumikiche from Ole Miss. He was a first-round pick. I think I said it right.
He's dead.
He was a first-round pick from there. They released him recently. But also, you know, they have Hassan Reddick. He's never really done it. They lost Ian Bikunin. He never really did it either. They lost Marcus Golden. He never really did it either. And Buda Baker had a really good year last year. They're going to lose Patrick Peterson for the first four games, who's... you know, still a top five cornerback, but they've put a bunch of money and a bunch of investment into their front seven, their defense. And it's been like, it's been good. It's been like the 12th best defense in football. But like, are you expecting any of these young guys at all to really break through this year?
No, I'm expecting nothing out of this.
Nothing.
Like, what are you even trying to say right now with this team? This team is not going anywhere, Matthew.
I do like Corey Peters. He has a huge belly. He's fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh my God. What are you even playing for with this? This is what you do. I swear I'm not coming in here every week and talking about the Arizona Cardinals again.
This is the only time.
I'm not doing this. You have ruined the bad team conversation because the defense and the young guys, you know what, Matt? They're going to be a splash. They're going to have some great plays, and it's going to equal to them putting up nothing.
Yeah, that's fine. I can't argue against that.
Well, then what do you think about the young guys?
Like the Cardinals are interesting, at least. And that's one of the good things about it. They're not like...
They'll be watchable on TV.
They're interesting. It's like if you're going to be bad, at least be interesting. Don't be Miami. Miami's not interesting. Don't be Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not interesting.
At least if you're a Monday night football game, I want to watch you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's fun stuff to see here. The defense does bum me out again. Like, I don't want to see Joseph coach this defense.
You're so against him, man.
I really am. Man, I'm bummed by it.
That's ridiculous.
And I'm excited to see David Johnson get 100 carries. Excited to see if this Murray thing works out. It's interesting to see if this offense works out. Again, I'm just afraid for him. So the projected win total here for the Cardinals is 6.4. Postseason odds, 16.9%. The over-under is 5. So what do you have for the Arizona Cardinals?
I'm going to put them at 4. So I'm going to put the under 4-12.
Okay, I have them winning 5 games.
Ooh, so you're going even, Stevens?
I'm going even.
All right.
I mean, like, they won 3 last year. They're not going to have 13 offensive starters. I don't think Kyler Murray makes the entire season. But, like, Hundley looked, you know, good enough. He can gallop around some. And there's enough defensive talent here to make some things happen. I think the one that's be interesting about the Cardinals is if they trade Patrick Peterson or not midway through the year, too.
I think they will, because eventually I feel like he's going to make a big stink about things. And then he's going to want to get traded away because the team's going to be going in a new direction of just wanting all the young guys.
Yeah.
I feel like I just heard that conversation so many times by these other players that I just feel like it's going to happen. You know, whenever we're interviewing, we have to interview with these guys, and it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Of course. So next up is the Los Angeles Rams. So last year, I picked the Rams to not make the playoffs. They scored 3 points in the Super Bowl instead. And there's a lot of regression numbers against the Rams. And you know what? This year, there's a lot of regression numbers against the Rams. They won 2 more games last year than they did the year before, which is tied 6. They went 7-1 in one-score games. Their turnover differential was plus 11, which was 4th. They played the 25th easiest schedule. They're 2nd DVOA. They're also the 3rd healthiest team in football. And they recovered 21 out of 32 fumble attempts, which there's no skill in recovering fumbles. It's something that fluctuates year to year. And this season, in this offseason, they lost John Sullivan, their starting center, Roger Saffold, their starting left guard, Mark Barron, and LaMarcus Joyner. And they added Eric Weddle, Blake Bortles, and Clay Matthews. So...
all you need is Blake Bortles and you're done.
I really don't want to pick the Rams, make the playoffs. I think they're going to be a worse team this year. The rest of the division doesn't like do enough for me.
Doesn't scream.
Yeah. Like, I've been really like trying to talk myself into the 49ers. Like, really trying to.
Whoa, okay. I can't talk myself into the 49ers. I can at least talk myself into Seattle, but I can't do the 49ers.
Yeah, I think the Rams are going to be worse this year.
Yeah, but...
And it starts with their offensive line. It really does, because they're losing. So
how many? Is that 3?
Well, they lost 2 starters.
Okay.
Also, Andrew Whitworth is going to be 38 this year. And in his place is Joe Noteboom at left guard, who's going to be taking over Saffold. And Saffold was dominant last year. He was so good blocking the second level. He was instrumental to their outside zone scheme. And they replaced Sullivan with Brian Allen, who I believe was a 3rd-round pick. So it's like there's draft pedigree here. There's draft capital involved. These aren't like talentless schmucks. These aren't UDFAs and that sort of thing. But again, like it's such a scheme that's based on like continuity, knowing when to leave, knowing how to flow in the right direction. And like until I watch this offensive line play, I can't expect the Rams to be good, because their entire offense is based around their rushing offense. Last year was 21.3% DVOA, which was 1st in football. They averaged 4.9 yards a carry, which was 3rd. They had 23 rushing touchdowns, which was 2nd. They had 2,231 rushing yards, which was 2nd. Todd Gurley averaged 4.9 yards an attempt. Malcolm Brown averaged 4.9, who's going to fill in for Gurley as he deals with his arthritis knees. Who knows when he's going to play this year?
Apparently Gurley's looking good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And CJ Anderson averaged 7.0 yards a carry.
He still doesn't have a job.
No, he's playing in Detroit.
Oh, wait. Not CJ. CJ Anderson?
Yeah, he's in Detroit. Yeah.
Are you sure?
100%.
So he's their 3rd guy?
No. Who's their 3rd guy?
That's what I'm saying. He'd be Detroit's 3rd guy.
No, he'd be their 2nd guy.
No, their 2nd guy's Abdullah.
Abdullah's in Minnesota.
Oh, man. I got my teams mixed up.
So do you think the Rams can have a dominant, all-time great rushing attack next year? With the injury history that Gurley has, with the loss of their offensive line?
No, and that's just because Jared Goff is going to be taking a step back rather than taking a step forward, which is what everybody believes he's going to do. I just, especially with Gurley's knees, but this is why I don't want to pay Zeke, is this is the prime example. He does not look the same. I don't know how you're going to be able to flip the switch that's automatically going to make your legs better. I don't see it with this team. I hope they regress, but just like what we spoke about earlier, we thought this team was just going to be losing in the playoffs, and yet they kept winning and winning, and somehow McVay became like the new hot thing, Jared Goff being his little toy that he controls. I hate this team.
They only won two playoff games because they had the first round of bye.
I just want this team to lose so bad.
I mean, they ran the ball down Dallas, and then they got lucky because Drew Brees can throw the ball downfield in the NFC title game, and they had that pass interference penalty that vaulted them to the Super Bowl, where they scored 3 points against the defensive mastermind. Do you think there's any concerns that Bill Belichick figured out this offense? Because this offense just runs 11 personnel, which is one tight end, one running back, three wide receivers. They ran this formation 92% of all their plays. They had DVA of 29.2% out of 11 personnel, and they average 6.7 yards per play in this offense.
But do you think that Bill Belichick is the only one that looked at that, and he's the only one that figured that out of any other NFL coach?
I mean, last year he was.
But that's what I'm saying. So nobody else saw what they were running?
No, everybody saw what they were running, but he was the only one to come up with the solution to stop them and hold them to 3 points.
So what do you think it was then?
They ran a 46 defense. And they use 4 linebackers, 4 defensive linemen.
You know what? I think Bill Belichick got lucky. And they control. I think that's all this is. And it's because McVay probably told him what he was doing because he called him before the Super Bowl, asking him what to expect. God, McVay just so disappointed me last year with that phone call. What do you mean you're calling him before the Super Bowl? What does it matter with you?
Act like you've
been there. Be a man. Yeah. What is you're supposed to be a grown-up.
Act like you've been there before.
God. And I just really hope that Jared Goff just takes a step back.
So the thing about Goff and his daddy is that Jared Goff with Cooper Kupp, you're going to see these stats over and over again. And I'm just going to repeat something that has just been stated whenever you read any sort of article about the Los Angeles Rams, whenever you read anything about Jared Goff at all whatsoever. So with Kupp, he averaged, he had DVOA of 10.9%. They averaged... No, with Kupp, they had a DVOA of 39.1%. They averaged 33.4 points a game. Without Kupp, it dropped down to 10.9%, and they averaged 29 points a game. And so, Goff was like an entirely different quarterback with him and without him. They were like an entirely different offense with him and without him. And so now you have Kupp healthy, and you have, Kupp, you have Brandon Cooks, you have Robert Woods, you have the entire offense back, and you have his three best receivers. Can he make up for the running game if it isn't an all-time great one? And that's the argument for is that Kupp is going to be there.
Yeah, and that's what everybody kept saying too, is that it would open up the passing game a little bit more. I feel like they still have plenty of weapons to be able to pass the ball around. I can't believe that Kupp truly made that big of a difference. I never really realized he was that key to the offense, and I thought Cooks would be able to step up a little bit more. Talk about, isn't he getting paid? Because is Kupp still on his rookie contract or something?
Yeah, he is.
And is he up after this year?
I mean, this is only his third year.
How long do they have him for on the rookie deal?
Four.
Four? Okay. Yeah. And so when it comes to the Cooper Kupp thing, I just hope that he's able to stay healthy because I'm interested to see what the Rams offense is able to do. But kind of like you said, after Bill Belichick kind of showed teams the blueprint, do you really think the offense is going to be able to sustain the momentum they had last year? I'm just not buying into it anymore. Yeah. I feel like somebody's going to be able to figure them out finally and just copy like what Bill Belichick did. Yeah. They're just going to copy that same tape if that's what how – If that's how many times they run that type of offense, how do they not
just
copy?
They just run the same offense.
There it is. That's what I mean.
And just like every play looks the same. They just do really great jobs of motion with how they package their plays. But they run the same plays over and over again. So in Kupp's place was Josh Reynolds. Reynolds averaged 13.9 yards a catch, but he had DVOA of 1.9%. Kupp, again, had a DVOA of 23.8%. And he really, made the offense zoom. Throughout last year. Also, Gurley's a really great receiving back as well, too. And it's not even that you lose Gurley in the run game, but there's a big difference between Gurley and Malcolm Brown in the passing game. And then the all reports right now for Daryl Henderson, the rookie running back they drafted from Memphis, who averaged like 7.5 yards to carry in Memphis, something absurd.
You liked him.
Yeah, I still do, but all the reports are that he's having trouble adjusting to this outside zone scheme, where it's not just like run forward and break tackles. It's flow, vision, cutback, and it takes some time to get used to that sort of offense.
So what you were saying is that you were wrong.
I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm saying he's not going to be, he may not be week one incredible.
Oh.
Those are two different things.
I think Matt may be wrong on this one.
So the other problem here, too, is that this defense was mediocre last year, and this defense was just like Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in football, and we got lucky and forced enough turnovers where we were able to make up for, you know, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters being kind of whatever last year. So Donald had 57 stops, 36 defeats, 20.5 sacks, 22 quarterback hits, and 59 pressures. The Rams were first in pressure rate, and it's pretty much all because Aaron Donald. They lost Ndamukong Suh. They didn't add another defensive line replacement.
They
brought in Clay Matthews, though. And
how old is Clay?
I think he's
34.
He's in his 30s now.
Yeah, 32.
Are you ready to find out? Yes, yeah, I guess.
He's 32.
He's 33 this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So I was in between. Either way, yeah, they didn't add anybody, so now people are just going to be able to focus on Donald even more. So it's nothing's going to be able to help them unless you think Wade Phillips is the mastermind going to be able to come up with another strategy.
No, I mean, he's run the same defense his whole career, but Phillips does do a good job.
He's good.
Creating one versus one rushes for his guys. Like, he did the same thing with Watt. But this is also a very mediocre defense last year.
They just got away with so many things. They got away with robbery in so many games. Yeah. I hated their backfield so much. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not a dominant.
I hate Marcus Peters.
It's not a dominant defense by any means, but you kind of assume so because of how good Donald is. They just force a lot of big plays. I think Abakum's a good example of that, where the guy just like that Kansas City game, he forced like three turnovers at two touchdowns in that game. Like, they make big plays. They're a real boomer bust defense. And I just have concerns with like Peters after how like little looked like he cared last year. It's like, and he doesn't tackle.
He doesn't do anything. He just goes for the pick.
Yeah. And then Talib is also, you know, he's getting up there in age too. Eric Wells is 34 this year. Talib's 33 this year. And so this isn't like a young group, you know. There's not a this isn't like a young offense that has like guys just sitting there waiting to break out at all either.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Rams this season because regardless of what I say, I feel like they're going to be able to at least sustain some type of momentum with that offense. The defense, however, I'm going to agree. I feel like the defense is the thing that's really going to be hurting. And I think they're even going to be worse to be able to put up. People are going to put up so many points on them. And it's really going to be, I'll put it this way. I feel like the Rams are going to have to be Kansas City last year, where the defense is just going to give up all the points in the world and Goff is going to have to be Patrick Mahomes rookie year, which I don't think Jared Goff is that good.
Well, nobody's been that good before, though.
Yeah, but even I'm talking about just at least scoring the ball, at least putting up 38 points a game. I just don't think Goff is that guy.
I don't know. I think they can keep scoring 31. I don't know, but
It's also without Gurley being fully healthy. Yeah. I just don't trust the legs of Gurley.
No, for sure. I understand. And, I mean, they scored 527 points last year. And so it's not only just like Goff. It's the loss of the center and left guard. It's Gurley. It's the fact that Bill Belichick held him to 3 points last year. And so I think more importantly than Goff, it's can McVay evolve this offense another step forward to make up for the fact that there's video out there and how to stop them.
I don't think he's going to be able to come up with something new. I'm not seeing that.
I mean, I think so. I think he can, but I think it's an enormous question. I don't know. So
you think he's going to come up with something like new, like spanking new here?
No, I mean, just like you just evolve what you're good at doing and you get better at what you're doing.
Yeah, but when your quarterback is just Jared Goff, I just don't think you're going to be able to.
Yeah.
I mean,
he can still talk to him every time. So
that's all that matters, as long as you can whisper in his ear.
So last year they were 13-3. This year they're projected to win 9.6 games. Their postseason odds are 16.5%. They played the 17th toughest schedule this year. And so I don't like the Rams this year. I don't want to pick them in the playoffs. I just can't talk myself into San Francisco or Seattle just yet. But their over-under is 10.5 wins. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to go 10-6. I could even see them going 9-7. I see them going 7-9. I just don't think they're going to be a dominant team. I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender this year at all.
I'm still going to put them at about 10-6.
Do you have them winning the division as well?
Yeah. I do want to say for sure on that, only because I still actually have a toss-up between them and Seattle.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at.
You think about it for a second.
I will, but do I have a last game between them? What do I have?
Well, you got to keep talking for just 1 second.
All right, man, I will, but you got to show me what I have. Why don't you have these things ready?
Whenever
I'm at the beck and call, that's what I'm supposed to have.
Why don't you do something instead of sitting there feeding yourself grapes? So they play Seattle.
I have wine.
They have Seattle week 14, and then they have Seattle week 5. They end the year at Dallas, at San Francisco, and Arizona.
Ooh, at Dallas, that's a loss.
And then they play, so their last 5 games, at Arizona, Seattle, at Dallas, at San Francisco, Arizona.
Yeah, the Seattle thing's going to be huge. I feel like one of those teams, and I don't want to know which one, is going to be 11-5. The other one's 10-6. I actually feel like both of them are going to make the playoffs.
Interesting.
Oh, that's where I'm at, man.
Okay.
That's my wild card. Ooh.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back. So the next team on the docket is the San Francisco 49ers. So the 49ers are kind of the opposite of the Rams with the fact that they had a really sad year last year. They went 3-6 in one score games. They had the worst turnover differential in football, -25. They had 3 starting quarterbacks last year. They lost, Jerick McKinnon really early in the year. They were the fourth most injured team in football. They lost Garoppolo in the 3rd week of the season as well, too. They just lost a lot of guys, but they weren't good at the same time. They were 30th in DVOA, and they played the 10th strongest schedule. So this year, they add Quan Alexander. They add Dee Ford. They add Tevin Colvin. They add Jordan Matthews. They add David Mayo. They add Jason Verrett. Probably the best player they lost last year was, I don't know, what do you think about Pierre Garçon?
Yeah, no.
He drops a lot of passes. And was
who is he even playing for now?
I don't think he's even in the league right
okay,
now.
Okay, there you go.
They lost Earl Mitchell. Not very good as well either. I mean, like the entire team is better, and then you also had Nick Bosa and all the early round picks they had.
They added two young
wide receivers as well, too, and Deebo Samuel, and they also added Jalen Hurd from Baylor as well, too. So they have a lot of, like, they don't have, like, a dominant skill player, but they have, like, competent players, and you also have Kyle Shanahan as the head coach, who's one of the better offensive coordinators in football at the same time.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you're saying, because also I think the main thing is the fact where were they even good before all those injuries? I mean, even with Jimmy G, they were 1-1, and it's not like he looked that great. He wasn't setting the world on fire, and then he gets injured in game 3. I mean,
would you call him 1-2 even though he got hurt in that game?
No, I wouldn't. Okay. I'd call him 1-1.
He played well against Kansas City, too.
Yeah.
I mean, their pass defense was one of the worst in football, but.
I wouldn't blame that on. The injury thing is just weird. So, yeah, I don't do anything like that.
He tore his ACL.
But that's also why I can't really blame it. I mean, you went through 3 quarterbacks. I mean, I picked up Beat Hard, Matt. That's who I picked up in fantasy last year.
Do you think he's better than Nick Mullins?
I will say, Beat Hard's kind of surprised me.
I think Mullins is better.
Mullins looked really good for the short amount of time.
Do you think Kyle Shanahan wants Mullins to be the starter, actually?
No, I think he really likes Jimmy G.
Because, Gruden does that thing where he's like, he wants Peterman to be a starting quarterback. Like, he loves old house to build back up.
I really hope not.
Yeah, he does. He loves that.
why on earth would you ever want that in your
life? He wants Mike Glennon to like win the starting job. Like, okay. He loves the reclamation project.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever
heard. Okay, well, you think...
I'm going to turn you into something great.
You think Jimmy's the guy? You think Jimmy's the guy?
Well, I don't know if Jimmy's the guy, but I don't think he's really had a fair shot. You know what I love, though, is a fact where they said he threw 5 straight interceptions.
Yeah, I don't really care about that.
But here's my thing, Matt. You could say you don't really care about that. It's just practice or it's just preseason, whatever. But how the hell do you throw 5 picks in a row?
I don't know.
Matt, by the fourth one, you have to be thinking something different, right? By the fifth one, what are you thinking?
I don't get to ask Matt Schaub that for him.
At this point, the only thing I think it would be cool if he came out and said, I was just trying to fit into a tight hole.
Yeah,
all I was trying to do is just try to get it into
practice.
A space.
I'm going
to
be aggressive when I can.
Yeah, do something like that, but I don't know. It didn't sound like that. It just sounded like he was just throwing 5 picks out there.
Well, I know he threw 3 picks against Minnesota last year in his first game as a starter in San Francisco. He threw a pick 6 in that game as well, too.
Nice.
And again, they lost. So, like, but against New England, though, he just threw, like, a lot of quick passes to the sideline. It was very conservative. And so, yeah, like, I still don't know what to think about him as well either. But he does have, like, a really good arm. I think the problem with him is going to be with pressure. That was his problem going back to college. Is that whenever pressure's there, his feet get happy, he turns around, runs, he makes bad decisions, and that's the thing that he has to deal with. And, like, this isn't a very good offensive line. It's okay. It's Joe Staley who's, like, I mean, it's just easy to say he's, like, 37 years old. He's something like that. Lincoln Tomlinson's, like, really big, but he's not that good of a pass blocker. Ben Garland is here starting at center because Weston Richburg was already cut. Mike Person is their right guard, and their right tackle is Mike McGlinchey. And I didn't even like him that much out of Notre Dame, and he's going to stay there another year right tackle until they're hoping he can move over to the left. The other interesting thing about the 49ers is that John Lynch has had a ton of top 5 picks, and I think the best one's going to be Nick Bosa. Because this
easily.
This is a big year for some of these guys. Ruben Foster, they trade back up to take, and there's a lot of character issues with him. They're like, we did our homework. He'll be fine. Didn't play any games, released him. He's in Washington. And the other two guys that he took were Terron Armstead and also Solomon Alexander, or Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas. Eric Armstead last year, 3 sacks, 20 pressures. Solomon Thomas, 1 sack, only 12 pressures. So it's like, and these guys both play 600 snaps. I think then they added D4, they add Quan Alexander. And so the question is kind of like, are these guys just phased out of the offense completely? Or can they keep bringing in these guys, keep bringing in refreshments, and have a competent pass rush because the secondary is really bad?
Yeah, whenever it comes to their defense, I won't lie to you, I'm not expecting much. I'm expecting them to start just like kind of rebuilding and becoming something more. Because whenever it comes to the San Francisco 49ers, I think the main goal is just for them to be healthy this year. And for Nick Bosa to just kind of get used to the defense as well,
as... Well, he's hurt right now, too. He has an ankle injury.
exactly the freaking point. And that's when it comes down to. The Kyle Shanahan, I just really hope he gets a shot because it seems like he knows what he's doing. And it just worries me that, again, his teams are getting injured left and right here.
Yeah. I think the bigger problem for him is just some of the bad decisions John Lynch has made.
Yeah.
Giving Kyle Juszczyk, $10 million a year to play fullback. Thomas was a bad pick.
Hold on, wasn't he like a fan favorite?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, his last name is so interesting. Who doesn't want to spell it like that?
You could have paid him $2 million.
Oh, I can't even believe he got paid like $10
million. No, I can. But I mentioned like Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead and Buss. He's made some bad decisions like paying Juszczyk. Richard Sherman was pretty good last year. And then also, but there's also questions about paying D4 as much as he did, and also trading what he did to get him, and also giving Quan Alexander as much as he did, who's a big guy who's been fast but has been injured and misses a lot of tackles too.
I don't have a problem with Quan Alexander though.
Yeah, but I just don't think he's worth the contract he got.
What do you get?
Enormous amount of money.
You don't even know? This is the problem. See, at my beck and call, man.
Why don't you look it up?
You know what?
You can't just ask me on top of my head.
I don't have the computer.
You could have looked it up before we did this.
All right, fine. I'm going to look up contracts next time.
Yeah, if you want to bring it up, you can look it up.
Fine.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, too, with the 49ers is that what Kyle Shanahan did a lot of last year was run 2 running back personnel. And so this was kind of what he did. They ran this personnel 42% of the time. They averaged 6.4 yards per play. They had a DVOA of negative 1.5%. And they only ran the ball 51% of the time. And usually you think two personnel, you think fullback, running back. They're probably going to run the ball, you know, 75% of the time, 80% of the time. But instead, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, this is a situation where they're looking to throw play action off of, throw to George Kittle off of. And so now you have an offense that's going to have Jerick McKinnon back potentially this year. They signed Tevin Coleman. Matt Breida was one of the most efficient running backs in football last year, even though he was hurt.
No, he wasn't. It's all a lie.
I mean, he was.
Nope. It was not. Nope. Yeah. It's not true because he can't be on the field for more than three plays.
I know I said he was one of the most efficient running backs in football, but he was injured. Those two things don't have to be separate things.
Oh, they can be.
They can both be true.
Because it's only, but it's like, I'll put it to this way. If you're on the field for five times and you get 15 yards per carry for those five times.
You're very efficient.
Oh, great.
But
how efficient are you, really?
You're very efficient.
But you're not out there playing. So
yeah, but you're injured. It's the same thing.
You're not that efficient, though.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're efficient for five plays that I can use you for, because otherwise you're injured.
Yeah, you're still
efficient.
Breida
was the most frustrating player.
He can be frustrated, and that's what makes him frustrating.
He's so fragile.
He is very efficient, but he was hurt last year. And then, of course, they have Juszczyk, who they're paying a bunch of money to.
But who do you think is going to be the starter? Even if McKinnon was healthy?
It doesn't matter. They're running backs. They all play a bunch.
Coleman's going to play 90% of everything.
No, he's not.
Really?
100% he's not.
You don't think Coleman's going to get the ball more than Breida?
I think Coleman will probably get the ball more than Breida, but he's not going to get 90% of the carries.
Oh, I think he's actually going to touch the ball a lot.
I think they're all going to touch the ball.
I think Breida's going to be kind of weaved out a little bit here. And that's just because he can't stay healthy. He's not reliable. As much as you could say, oh, look what he did. Look how efficient. For five plays out of the entire game.
Maybe he'll get 10 carries a game then.
Yeah, he can't
but
last.
All I'm saying is that they're going to split time between all the running backs they have, because that's what they do there.
When is McKinnon supposed to come back?
He hasn't played this preseason. We'll see though. I mean, he tore his ACL before practice.
Yeah.
Before the season even started last year, so I assume he'll be ready by week one.
Yeah, I think Coleman's gonna get 95% of the snaps.
No, that's not what's gonna happen.
Hey man, I'm just saying.
I think he only got like 35% when Shanahan was the head coach in Atlanta, because Foreman got the majority of them. But I can't see a situation where it's like that. The other problem that they have is that they ran this personnel a lot. They ran the ball a lot. But they were 30th in rushing offense DVOA. And the biggest reason for that was that the average box they faced had 6.38 defenders, which was the fourth most in football. And the best indicator of rushing yards per play is the number of defenders in the box. And so you have Shanahan using this offense that's a lot of two running back sets. He's running out of it, but there's just a lot of players in the box. And this is kind of what happens whenever you have zero good wide receivers on your offense. And so I guess in a roundabout way, like the setup, I just have questions about, one, Garoppolo's ability not throw a bunch of interceptions, his ability to stay healthy, and then also just the wide receivers here, you know? Dante Pettis dropped a lot of passes last year. Goodwin's a speedster.
Goodwin's supposed to be like the breakout guy.
Yeah, he's a speedster. He's like, you know, catch. He's like, I'm an average 17 yards of reception sort of guy.
But he only had like one or two catches a game.
Yeah, because the average is like 17 yards of reception. You know,
so it means only you only get one.
And then Matthews has never really had a great year, and they have a bunch of rookies. And it's weird that like rookie wide receivers really have a great season. Like it takes them a while. It takes them like 2 years at least, or 3 years, to really kind of figure out the pros. It's just strange. You think it'd be more a position where you draft a guy early and they're great right away?
Well, no, only because I feel like you have to learn the playbook, in the sense where you have to learn where you can make moves in certain areas. You're getting used to things, especially with guys covering you differently, and I would say a little more difficulty. So, I mean, yeah, makes sense, because you have to think about, there's like certain maneuvers that they do to break away. I mean, even DeAndre Hopkins, even like the little push-ups,
he was good his rookie year, though.
He was good. But even like the little nudges, even like the little push-ups, like they all like develop their own type of routine and methods to get open.
Yeah.
It takes you a little bit.
I agree with what you're saying. I was thinking about today, and, you know, at first glance, you assume that, just draft some receivers. They're going to be good right away.
Yeah, I see.
And it very rarely happens. And so, like, you don't have a dependable receiver core, but then it kind of goes back the same way. It's like, yeah, we're just going to run play action, throw George Kittle. And throw to these running backs that we have, they're really good receivers at the same time.
Do you think Kittle's going to have as good of a year?
No, because he was so good last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
they're
going to
target him a bunch. He's going to be the focal point of their passing game. But at the same time,
else.
I don't think it's going to be as good as it was last year.
Yeah, I'm just, again, with Tevin Coleman being like the lead back and everything, I just think that it's going to be pretty crazy, because I'm wondering what Kyle Shanahan's going to do. He's going to be doing a lot more maneuvering when it comes to moving guys around. Even Coleman could play receiver. I think he's going to be doing and trying a lot of different things because it's like what you're saying. Their wide receiver core is weak.
Yeah.
Even the Jordan Matthews thing. Wasn't he like Buffalo, cut from Buffalo, cut from New England, cut from all the teams?
Cut from Philly.
Yeah, it's – I don't even know why he's on the 49ers, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they just need – they need some bodies.
That's weird.
And I'm also expecting them to like run this – run like a real run-heavy play-action offense, a real ball-control offense. I think it'd be kind of like Dallas in a way, but probably more, a little bit more explosive. And they're going to run play action more than Dallas has typically. Going back to years prior, I think Dallas' offense will be better this year with a new offensive coordinator. But I think it's important because their pass defense is bad here. And I know I mentioned earlier in the previous episode that the Bears had 27 interceptions last year. The San Francisco 49ers defense had 2 interceptions last season. 2.
That's 2 more than me.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Sherman was better last year than I thought he'd be, but he still is going to have problems against guys who are fast. I do think that Witherspoon had a good season last year, and I think he has the potential to be better this season too, but their safeties are bad, their nickel corner is bad, their fourth cornerback's bad, and they're going to be dependent on their pass rush. I love DeForest Buckner. He's awesome, and who knows, if him and Bosa play and they're both like 10 sacks a year guys, I think that'd be monumental for this team. I think the biggest question on the defense, though, is that they trade a first-round pick for Ford for next year. They gave him a big contract. Last year, he had 13 sacks, 18 quarterback hits, 49 pressures. It was like the first great year of his career. Do you think he can keep up that same sort of production in San Francisco this season as a 4-3 linebacker? Who's going to move down defensively on pass rushing downs?
Yeah, I'm actually going to give him.
You like him?
Yeah, I do. And that's just because I feel like somebody's going to have to break away and be able to put pressure from the San Francisco defensive side. And I don't know who else is going to be able to do that. And I think him being able to get after the quarterback is going to be able to help a lot more, especially with him coming down.
Yeah. I think Beasley in Atlanta should watch D4 play a lot of football.
Hey, man, listen, Atlanta has their own issues to work out, okay? You don't need to be bringing
like, all I'm saying is that I think Ford is, like, the best example of that sort of pass rusher. And like, as far as, like, a bend and rip guy, like, he's very good at it. I think the biggest thing is just going to be Bosa and Buckner. That's the important part of this defense and their ability to create interior pressure.
And D4 was the one that got the penalty last year. Right? And that's just where people have a bad taste in the mouth, but it's more like he's still a great player and he just had that one mistake that people are going to hold on to.
Yeah.
So I like it. I like it a lot, and I feel like he may do really well for the 49ers.
Yeah.
Especially with Bosa and Buckner then.
It sucks that Bosa's hurt.
That's so dumb. How bad is the ankle?
If Bosa was healthy this year, I could probably talk him to being a playoff team.
Going that far.
I think this is the most interesting team in the division, though, as far as like, or I think this is the most interesting team in the NFC as far as like a 4-win to playoff team potential.
It's funny, I just feel like it's the same thing with Arizona. This is just a fun, bad team.
Yes, I don't think they're gonna be bad.
Oh no, I don't see more than 8 wins.
Yeah, I would again, like, it, I don't know.
Yeah, you can put them at more than 8.
For me, it's just the Garoppolo thing, but I think of all the teams, because like every year there's one or two teams that go from 4 wins to 10 wins makes the playoffs. And then the NFC, the best example of this, or the best opportunity for this, is San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
So what do you have for San Francisco this year?
All right, for San Francisco, I'm going to put it at 7-9.
All right, so I'm going to put them at 9-7.
Ooh, look at you.
Then they missed the playoffs, and I think they have a better chance than the Seahawks to take over the Rams in the division.
Okay, that's not true at all, and it's this easy. They don't have Russell Wilson.
I didn't say that's what's going to happen. I said I think.
What do you mean that's what you think?
I didn't say it's going to happen.
Wait, but that doesn't make any sense now, because that's what you just said.
You said that's not going to happen. You said there's no way that can happen.
Okay, there's no way that can happen.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know where you're going with this, but I don't like it. See, it's too late. This is what happens when you're here for too long.
I mean, we've done the entire NFC in one day.
Oh, God.
Man.
48 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours.
No, 48 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was 24 hours.
No, it's the next 48 hours.
Oh, no, it's next 48 hours. It's 24.
Wait, the show 24?
Yeah. And it's just two people podcasting for 24 straight hours.
That'd be good.
Oh.
People would watch that, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
We can do it for charity.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have like a webcam footage.
Yeah, the charity's my bank account.
Yeah, we'll have the 4 million listeners just donate to us.
Sounds good. So the last team we have for the NFC are the Seattle Seahawks. So they lost a lot of players last year. And then they add Jason Myers, a kicker, and Mike Iupati, a guard. They lost Earl Thomas. They lost Justin Coleman. They lost Jaron Stephen. They lost D.R. Sweezy. They lost Mike Davis. They lost Maurice Alexander. They lost Dick Baldwin. They lost Frank Clark. They also have lost Jerome Reed for the first six games of the season because he failed the, or I guess he was suspended by Roger Goodell for being a bad boy. And so they
is that what Roger Goodell called him? You're
said,
suspended for being
said,
bad. Jerome,
you're a bad boy.
You're so bad.
Yeah, don't be so bad.
Oh my God.
So the Seahawks didn't get better this offseason.
It's on purpose.
And they lost their entire team. And they drafted a lot of players, but in my eyes, well, they also added Ezekiel Ansah's with too. And but as we mentioned, as we read on the news today, he's injured at the moment as well and hasn't been partaking preseason activities.
I've been even reading that Seattle wants to even trade again, that they're talking about trading another one of their players. You know why, Matt? It's because they can't afford Russell Wilson's contract.
All right, well, that's different.
That's
well,
not different. That's
no,
what
no,
they're
saying, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think this year for the Seahawks, this is like a one step backward to take two steps forward in the future. Like I think this is like a down mediocre year for them. But they win six, they win seven games or eight games.
But it's weird to say that because like last year they weren't supposed to make anything. But it's the magic of Russell Wilson.
I think the biggest thing for their
because
preseason,
they really weren't.
No, but I think the biggest thing for it is they had a lot of really good defensive players that you just didn't know about yet.
Maybe, but still, I mean, I never saw this team being the way they were. They had the number one running attack in the league.
Well, they ran the ball the most in the league.
Still.
They weren't the best rushing attack, though.
Yeah, but they still
were. Just because you do something a lot doesn't mean you're good at it.
Yeah, but if you're bad at it, though, that's one thing. If you're at least decent at it, that's another thing that you can keep going with it.
Well, their offense would have been better if they threw it more. As we saw in that playoff loss to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that's just because the Dallas Cowboys are great.
Mm.
And Russell Wilson just couldn't perform the magic of Russell Wilson. But it happens.
He got close. He threw some good deep passes.
And that's the only reason why I believe in this team, which is why the more I talk about them, they're going to be the 10-6 team. And then the Rams are going to be the 11-5 team.
Wow.
But either way, the Seattle Seahawks are going to get the wild card again. They're going to come out of nowhere. No one's going to expect it. And it's going to happen again. And I hate Pete Carroll. God, I hate Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's...
ultimate
I won't
douche.
Say it. I won't bring politics into this, but
okay.
So Russell Wilson last
year. Save it for the church, okay?
Yeah, I'll save it for after show. Damn, Russell Wilson was good last year. So I'm gonna give you his numbers. Let me know if you think he's gonna be better than this. He had a 65.6% completion percentage, 3,448 yards, 35 touchdowns and 7 receptions, 6.6 net yards per pass, 11.3% DVOA, and then without pressure, his DVOA was 73.8%, which is 40% better than Kirk Cousins, because again, Kirk Cousins is a coward. So is he going to be better than that this year without Doug Baldwin? By changing out Doug Baldwin for DK Metcalf?
Man.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. He's not going to... Okay. Let's do it this way, though. He's not going to have the same type of completion percentage by any stretch of the imagination, but I bet he has more big plays. I bet there's more bombs downfield because he still has Lockett.
He does, but so on deep passing last year, 6.6 yards per pass, 16 touchdowns, one interception, DVOA of 225.2%, and 24% of their pass attempts were deep. So they were going to run the ball a lot, and then we're going to throw it deep. And I don't think Tyler Lockett can do what he did again next year they did last year because he was – like, he was insane down the field.
That's what I'm saying,
like,
though.
Everything he caught was, like, 25 yards.
That's exactly
what I
feel
like. I just don't
think
he can do it again because they don't have... I don't like their secondary options, you know? And it's entirely depending on their rushing attack being, like, yeah, we're just going to keep breaking tackles again, 4 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry.
I still... Again, it's the same thing as last year. I just feel like... because who is there? Is it still Carson?
Well, they have, like, four running backs.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Is there even a clear cutter? They're just going to do the running back by committee again.
So it's Carson, it's Rashad Penny, who I still can't believe he's a first round pick on. And it's CJ Pro size.
Yeah, no matter what you say, the Penny thing is not worth the first round pick for you to use him like, with three others.
Okay, last year he just wasn't used as much. But Carson's predominant back.
Yeah, Carson's their guy. I just, when it comes to this team, especially with their defense, they're having to get rid of all these pieces because you have to pay for the contract. So it's essentially starting over. And is that the whole thing where they're starting over from scratch where they don't believe Russell Wilson is going to be able to win them anything? So it's just kind of like a farewell tour / rebuilding where we'll build up this team where once you retire, then we're going to draft our quarterback for the last remaining piece.
I don't think so at all. I think it's more like we're going to get draft picks because they're paid $1 million and we'll load up on young talent and then give us a year or two to develop them. And by the time they're developed, you know, we still have Wilson, who's going to be great for another, like, three or four more years. Like, he's at his peak right now.
Yeah.
No. And he'll still be really good for probably three more years. And as long as he doesn't get hurt.
In this day and age, the quarterbacks, man, he probably has, knows? Like, another 12 years.
Who knows? Jeez. This is my biggest problem with the Seahawks, though. So, last year, Frank Clark and Jerron Reed, they combined for 23.5 sacks, 27 quarterback hits, and 59 pressures. Frank Clark's in Kansas City. Reed's not going to be on the field until week 7. And in their place going to be Quinn Jefferson. Ansa's hurt. Puna Ford's their defensive tackle. Alba's their defensive tackle. Those are run-stopping guys. Bobby Wagner's the best linebacker in football. I don't like the pass rush here at all. And the secondary's okay. And I think they're going to give up a lot of points. I think it's going to be the same sort of Seattle defense without those two guys on the field.
With this, so you think the same Seattle type defense?
I don't think it's gonna be the same Seattle type defense.
Like, oh yeah, no.
Seattle's
no.
defense, I think, is gonna be like 20th this year because those two guys are on the field.
I'll agree with that, and I just don't think with the loss of all. I mean, Earl Thomas is gonna be huge, even though we're never gonna see another guy flick off the sideline ever
again.
It's
cool.
It's great, and the only other thing when it comes to that defense,
I do like McDougal though.
Why?
He's good.
I don't know. The last name doesn't hit me.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it just doesn't do it right.
I think Shaquille Griffin was a letdown, though, last year. And they lost Coleman, who's their slot corner, who was okay, who Detroit paid a bunch of money to go play over there. But
well, Detroit paid all the defensive players because Matt Patricia's going to turn them into gold stars.
Yeah.
This Seattle team, they're interesting because, again, me reading that they're wanting to trade another one of their players, they just don't care. How many draft picks do they have for this upcoming year?
I don't know.
So do they stockpile for last year? They stockpiling for this upcoming or just for the future
they're
entirely?
They're just stockpiling picks.
See, I don't like their plan. They're wanting to waste Russell Wilson in order for them to build.
I mean, they're going to build young because, like you talked about, you know, they're paying Russell Wilson $30 million.
I know.
And so they're going to build around young talent as a result of it. I just think this is a team that's worse than last year. Last year, their passing game was built off of a lot of deep passes that I don't think they have the same level of talent to redo that again. And then also, they're an inefficient offense because they ran the ball too much. But at the same time, they throw the ball more, then you kind of lose your efficiency as a deep passing team. And so then they're kind of stuck. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to get better in this offense. I think last year's as good as it gets for them with the type of offense they have, with the skill position players they have. And I think this is going to be a worse defense next year as well, too. So I think this is like a very average team. And this is like a two steps backward to be able to take, you know, three steps forward in the future as they draft a bunch more young players and then, you know, create some more spare parts and then have the ability to jump into free agency maybe 2 years from now. But I think this is a team that won't be like a contender again until 2021.
Who would you rather have on your team, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
Wilson.
Ooh, interesting.
He's 31.
Uh-huh.
He's better without pass protection.
Ooh, okay.
He can throw the ball downfield better.
Interesting.
He's nicer, I think.
He's nicer. That's what that's
to his
just
coaches, at least.
Yeah, I mean,
but he's coddled by his coaches and makes you know your defensive players mad.
He's coddled by Sierra, too. But either way, that's interesting because I was just thinking about that. Russell Wilson truly is better than Aaron Rodgers, you could say. And yet Aaron Rodgers still gets more of the credit. You know what? I'm going to have to write an article about this.
Good. They both have as many Super Bowl wins.
I know. And yet he's been in the Super Bowl more times as well.
Mm.
Interesting. And all I needed was Aaron Rodgers to win one more just so Brett Favre's legacy would be ruined.
Yeah, he couldn't do it.
But now it's like, okay, here's the other question. Who's the bigger douchebag, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think Favre's a douche for wanting to leave Green Bay.
Well, wait. Favre's a douche.
Have
you seen those Levi commercials?
No, he's just...
That doesn't say nice guy.
He just likes...
It doesn't say nice guy on those pants.
He likes his tractor. The thing I wanted to say about Seattle, too, that I like teams that are, like, good at doing certain things. So they, like, have these weird quirks about them. Like, I've always wanted Arizona just to sign a bunch of old players and just become the nursing home of the NFL.
What?
And so what Seattle does, though, is Seattle loves to sign former first-round busts. So they have DJ Fluker. They sign Ansa. I wouldn't say Ansa's a bust, but he was hurt the year before, and they got him for cheap. They signed Barcavius Mingo. He's not there at all anymore. But they like to do that. They like to bring in these four. They had Deion Jordan last year. He's not going to be there this year. But they love to sign, like, former top five picks, top 10 picks that didn't work out, give them another shot in Seattle. And I think it's fun. I think it's a fun thing that they like to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to give guys, at least it's not the Dallas Cowboy way where they're just going to give, you know, criminals contracts. Yeah. At least it's guys that were just picked really high that just weren't able to prove themselves. Let's see if we can make something out of them. And Seattle, for the most part, has been able to at least get guys to play as a combined unit, which is really impressive. It's just the Russell Wilson thing where they just picked their quarterback over the entire team. And even guys going into it, they'll be able to clearly see that. So either way, though, if I'm the team, I'd pick Russell Wilson over those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not? That's why it's all about...
I mean, it's the most important position.
And then being butthurt about it, you would think that they would understand.
Well, how many of them are still in the league, too?
What is it, like three?
I mean, I think Sherman's the last one left.
Earl Thomas is in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it's like, even with Earl Thomas flicking him off, he deserved to flip him off because that was entirely
different.
They
should have paid him. Yeah,
that was entirely... I agree with you. Like, that was just bad because he was playing that way and, like, the team was waiting for it.
Yeah.
He was thinking about it. That was just a bad
situation.
It's just
your quarterback has a longer career than your defensive linemen do, than your cornerbacks do.
It's fair.
So this is also my favorite Seattle stat, too. So last year, they were second rushing attempts of 534. They were last in pass attempts at 427.
Wow.
So they're paying Russell Wilson $32 million a year to be the least throwing passing offense in football.
They are paying him that much money in order for him to escape and for him to dance around.
They don't
and
have
spin.
To pay for their offensive line or pay for
exactly.
an offensive line that can pass protect because of how good he is as a scrambler.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're saving money on.
Then this is probably like the best offensive line the Seahawks have had. It's Dwayne Brown, it's Mike Iupati, it's Justin Britt, it's DJ Fluker, and Jermaine Ifedi. And so I think this is probably the best offensive line he's had there as far as like all around, not just, you know, run blocking wise.
Yeah, but they're just going to be focusing on running, just like you're saying, and doing the play action with Lockett and Metcalf.
And throw the ball as far as possible.
And I mean, they're just going to line him up on either side, which, I mean, it should be fun to watch at least.
Yeah.
If it works.
I just see a very average team here. So their postseason odds are 41%. Their projected win total is 8.6 wins. They play the tenth toughest schedule in football this season. Their over under is 8.5 wins. So what do you have here for the Seattle Seahawks?
I'm sticking with my 10-6.
10-6. Wild card number two.
Wild card number two.
All right. So I have them at 8-8. I can see them as 9-7. I think the 49ers have the better chance of winning the division over them.
Okay. That's not happening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's going to happen.
You just like Jimmy G. You told me that you think that his eyes are more beautiful than Russell Wilson's.
No, it's his eyebrows. It's
his eyebrows? Are they done? Oh, God.
Man,
I need to get my eyebrows done, too. I feel like that's going to be the new thing.
He's bronze like a turkey con queso.
Yeah. What is the turkey con queso? Wait, I feel like, is that a dish?
Yeah, you've had it before.
Have I? Oh, the turkey con queso.
All right, so to recap, the Arizona Cardinals. I'm at 5-11. You're at 4-12. I'm taking the push. You're taking the under. Los Angeles Rams. I'm at 10-6 win the division. You have them at 10-6 win the division.
Change that to 11-5.
11-5?
Yeah.
Well, you have the over, and then I have the under then. And then for the Seattle Seahawks, the over-under for them, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers, the over-under is 8 wins. I'm taking the over at 9-7. You're taking the under at 7-9. And then for the Seattle Seahawks, I'm taking the under of 8.5. I have them at 8-8. You're taking the over at 10-6. And you're thinking that they're going to be the second wild card team.
Heck yeah, baby. I like to always roll the dice with Russell Wilson.
Sounds good. So I guess that if I can remember correctly, the NFC, I have my two wild card teams as the Packers and the Cowboys. My NFC winners are the Eagles, the Bears, the Rams, and the Carolina Panthers.
I don't know what I have as far as my second wild card team. I don't think I picked that yet, but I'm going to say, because I have the division winners as New Orleans, Rams, Cowboys, and Bears.
Yeah.
And then my wild card
Seattle
would be Seattle. And then, see, now it's going to be conflicting. You know what? It's going to be Philly.
You're going to go Philly?
It's Philly.
So the same thing as last year?
Yeah, it's going to be the exact same thing as last year.
I think you made some bad picks then.
What are you talking about? I think I made great picks. How did I pick the exact same thing as last year?
Yeah, you might want to sleep on that.
You know what? I'm not going to sleep on anything, because the only thing I would truly change would be my one wild card. That's it.
Yeah.
I would only change the one wild card, and the only team I'd be thinking of changing it to is Green Bay, and I don't want to do it because I hate Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, that works out.
Yeah, so I'm going to leave it. It's the same. It's a repeat. It's what I do.
Yeah.
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 Except no Nick Foles, so things work differently now.
Hey, we'll talk about him. Oh, actually, we won't talk about him.
Yeah, I won't be there because you want to be with somebody else.
We're doing a separate AFC South preview
because
the
Houston
Texans play in the AFC South. But anyways, thank you for being on tonight, Taylor. I'll make sure to get your AFC South thoughts as a quick recap, maybe for the AFC West preview, because it makes sense. And but anyways, thank you for listening to Bell Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston, and thank you for being on tonight, Taylor.
It's 4 a.m. Get out of my house.